In Jesus, dear fellow confessors, February 12, 1999. Here we are praying Psalm 119 and Luther's Catechism. Strange bedfellows, those two, the psalmist and Luther. Why? Well, listen to what the psalmist has to say a little while later in section Mem, verses 97 and following. And listen to this with, I would say, Lutheran ears. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me." This may sound like a spiritual snob bragging about his self-righteousness, more in line with Paul, the blameless Pharisee, than in line with Paul, the apostle, who cries out, "Wretched man that I am." And then we have Luther teaching us to plead guilty of all sins, even of those we do not know. How can you reconcile those two? Well, I don't know what Luther would have to say, but I was impressed, almost shocked, when I saw Luther and the psalmist of Psalm 119 in the same slot on the chapel schedule. But then I told myself, maybe you should just read the psalm. Actually, as you may know, Psalm 119 is an acrostic or alphabetic psalm. It's the most developed alphabetic psalm or poem in the Old Testament. There are 22 sections, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the initial letter remains the same for each of the 8 lines of a section. And people have wondered why he has always 8 lines, one suggestion being that it's so because he plays on 8 different words or synonyms he has for Torah. But that's just a suggestion. What this means is that this psalm has a built-in randomness. In other words, there is no promise that there will be a logical development from one line to the next. It would be like opening a lexicon and going from gauge to gaily to gain. That's more or less what you have here in this psalm. Today we are praying section Gimel, and he goes, Gimel, Galenai, Ger Anoki, do good, open my eyes, I am a stranger. But if you keep looking and if you pay attention to what is being said, it will become apparent that he is not just piling up words, and that in this psalm we don't just have a bunch of words randomly put together. And if one pays attention to where the words are coming from, it will be sweet music even on Lutheran ears. These words emerge from a context of affliction, and they reveal a strong element of complaint. In verses 22 and 23, we pray, "Remove from me scorn and contempt. Though princes sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees." No, the psalmist is not just writing poetry for the sake of poetry. As someone said, the psalmist is no amateur composing poetry in an ivory tower, but he is caught up in a situation of tension and distress, which he asks Yahweh, Jesus, to resolve with his helping presence. And this context helps to dispel the impression that we are dealing with a spiritual snob. Now let's take a look at the words. Do good. Do good to your servant. This may still sound selfish, but there's no need for that. It may not be that. Let's keep looking and move down one line. Open my eyes. Might he be confessing blindness? Maybe not everything is okay. One more line. I am a stranger on earth. Something is wrong. Something is missing. Dislocation, alienation. Well, that comes close to a confession. Not a confession of this or that particular sin, but a confession of what we may call sinfulness. Gimel, Galenai, Ger Anoki. And now, what about praying it backwards? Ger Anoki, Galenai, Gimel. Lutherans should not say prayers backwards, especially in the light of Luther's warning against praying the Lord's Prayer backwards, and that he wrote in 1519. As Luther says, we are inclined to begin asking for what we need, deliverance from evil, forgiveness for our sins, our daily bread. And if there is time or energy left, okay, God's will, his kingdom, his name. But with due permission from Luther, let's pray it backwards. After all, we are told there is some sort of built-in randomness in this psalm. So let's go. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. This is not home. We do not have a permanent city here, but we look for the one that is coming. Away from home, O Lord, don't turn your back on me. Don't bring on me the wrath of your silence. Lost in a strange world, I'm also blind. I don't see the wonderful things of your revelation. I miss the glory of your promises. I have a hard time focusing on all treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ, as Paul says in Colossians 2. I'm a stranger. I'm blind. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I am dead. Be merciful to me. Forgive my sin. That is, take me as I am, cleanse me, and make me your own. Do good. Open my eyes. I am a stranger. I am a stranger. Open my eyes. Do good to your servant. To pray these words is to make confession. A confession of sin, yes, but above all, a confession of faith. For there is no confession of sin apart from faith. The greatest saints are precisely those who confessed that they were the greatest sinners of all. St. Paul confesses, "The saying is sure and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the foremost of sinners." So, how should we pray section Gimel of Psalm 119? Let's pray it as a confession of sin, as a confession of faith. Not necessarily this or that sin in particular, but above all, let's confess our sinfulness. Let our heart's cry be, above all, do good to your servant. Speak thy word and make me alive. Amen.